This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Is it Friday yet?
It is not Friday, but welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne.
He lives for his Friday. Way to pop my bubble.
I think the audience is beginning to think that Dave Bourne doesn't like his job.
I love my job. What are you talking about?
Newsmakers. We talk local issues and ideas and institutions and individuals here. So this is the place for intelligent, rational talk about things having to do with the Mid-Valley. We talk a little politics. We talk a little bit of economics and economic development. We talk a little bit about entrepreneurism and also great things from nonprofits. So thanks for joining us. We're here every Monday through Friday, except Wednesday. Wednesday's with Denise.
That's
just
right.
To fill in that. And today we have one of my favorite topics because it is my favorite level of government. Is the county governance. So we're fortunate enough to have a Marion County Commissioner here with Sam Brentano. I mean, face it, folks, where there are no cities, who takes up the slack? It's the counties.
That's right.
And then if you get beyond the counties, you got a legislature. Then you got the state government, and don't I get started on the federal government. So my favorite level of government is the county. They do a lot of cool things, and they do things that other levels of government don't do. So love to spotlight them. Sam, welcome to the studio.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoy coming here. I always wonder. I don't even like to listen to myself, so the thought that somebody's going to listen to me for an hour or so does scare me. But
well, I'm interested, so you can just pretend you're talking to me. So many things I think are going on. You know, the county kind of everything swirls around the county in terms of you've had some personnel changes. Of course, solid waste is near and dear to every. Topics I'm interested in, and into your history, of course, and of course what the legislature does to help or not help for what the county's goals are.
Brent, before you do that, can I do something kind of personal?
I'm
just going to tell you what it is. Kevin Cameron was on here a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks, I don't know. I asked him to say something nice about me. And
he did.
No, he struggled. It was pretty weak. I'm not kidding you. I griefed him about it when he got back. So, just to be even, I just got to tell you how much I enjoy working with him and watching, and Calm Willis, too. We head different directions when we run the county, but it's all getting done well. Calm has just mastered this. What I didn't even want anything to do with the insurance, the CCO questions, behavior health. He just mastered it in the 6 months or so that he's been here. And we had a good bunch working, getting along well, and I just wanted to say that. I enjoy being there.
Yeah.
Now you can ask the series.
No, I appreciate that. You know, and I didn't want to tell you, but I think we spent a whole commercial break with Kevin was scratching his head trying to think something nice to say about you.
Yeah, I figured it was tough. It didn't come out very well.
I ran into Colm the other day downtown, and we had a nice conversation, and I asked him how he was doing. He says, you know, we got the best group of commissioners down there.
Oh, good.
And so he had something nice to say about you,
the same
too.
Thing. All right. Well, now down to let's get to the bats.
It is nice to know that we have three hardworking commissioners.
Yes.
I mean, that calmed. He didn't get there to get a cushy. He's not there to get a cushy government job and not show up to work and to apply himself. That's awesome. Any other personal announcements you want to make today?
Well, I did yesterday, right before board meeting. I had a son. I wouldn't say he, but she had a seventh grandchild for me. It was pretty. I was coming down Correction Hill for living sublimity, and wife texted me and said things are happening. And so I figure it's going to be all day. You know how that is. I had five kids myself. I know it never goes. But I just sat down. The meeting's ready to begin. I get another text. It's been chaotic, it says, but she's here. So it took eight minutes from.
Wow.
In fact, the doctor wasn't even there.
It was
interesting. So got to see her last night, Ruby Lynn. They're born in Staten, and everybody's happy. So that's fun.
That's fantastic. Ruby Lynn, welcome to the world. Congratulations to the whole family. And that doctor's still going to send a bill.
Oh, yeah. He missed him.
Yeah.
My son Andy said the nurses were looking at each other. You could just tell something was wrong and how close is this? This just doesn't happen. And finally, their call went out, and then people started scrambling. And some doctor did just get there in time to catch her.
Wow.
That is terrific. We're going to get you one of the bumper stickers that said, if I knew grandkids were so fun, I would have had them first.
Yeah, would have been a better idea.
That's one of my dad's favorite sayings. Okay, hey, let's talk a little bit. Before too much time gets off. I know it's one of your favorite topics, and we haven't talked about it for a while. But is there any light? Is there any hope whatsoever on the Third Bridge? And how are you feeling about, is the council softening or coming to their senses?
I don't know about the council. In fact, they have to be replaced. Those no votes have to go. And they're going to get to why this is important. I think you are at the state of the county, and I announced I was going to look at other areas of the county to see, just kind of at least set the groundwork, the time I have left of where else we could go. You know, there was an idea some years ago down in the Wheatland area. In fact, a bridge was planned, didn't happen in the 60s. We have Wheatland Ferry that we spend a lot of money on, 250,000 rides a year. It's important. But if we have a bridge replace that, for example, our expenses go down, everything's good. But, boy, I got just inundated with calls from farmers and stuff. Don't do that. Don't bring them through here. Same, we'd be in the same issues we are in Donald, where Newburgh-Dundee dump it out is just overwhelming a county road infrastructure system that isn't designed for it. Bottom line, there are a couple ways you could do it. Horribly expensive. I looked at three different routes with Public Works and then kind of came away like that isn't a reasonable answer. It's just not going to be. So feeling pretty put out and still coming back to that situation where the way to do this is to replace those no votes on the Salem City Council as the only option.
Well, they did spend 15 years deciding where the best place would be.
Just but for example.
Yeah. So.
But let me just finish up real quick. So Commissioner Mordhorse from Polk County and I went with Barb Young in my office and met with Phil Ditzler, and he's with the Federal Highway Administration here in Salem, and just to kind of ask if it was time they're going to wrap up this environmental impact statement with a no decision. And I didn't want that to be the end of it, that it just dies, all that work's lost, and if you ever want to pick it up, you all start over. You know, we did spend about 10 years and way too much time. I told them when we started, I'll be on it, but I'm only going to stay on for a year, I said, because I'm not going to waste my time on stuff. But that's what it took to get that far, and I didn't want to start over. So we met with them, and I was just so encouraged, and it was, this is the message. And I hope it wasn't like private. I don't think he took it that way. The message was that both Federal Highway and ODOT want the process to happen. I think you could read into it that they get a personal bad mark on their office in spending money without showing some results. So the message we got was that if all entities agree, so there you fill in, there's only one entity that didn't agree. Mm-hmm. If all entities agree, it would be in the Federal Highway's interest and ODOT's interest to pick it up, revive it, and go from there. So what I came away pretty enthused, really, is there still is a path. And I don't know how long before enough time goes over. They do say this isn't valid information anymore. Who knows? But seems like they got to take a shot in the next couple of years, get that unanimity from the local jurisdictions and make appeal. I said the method you use is go to ODOT first, who would then take it to them. And then we're back on. So it's not.
So the path is a ballot box.
Yes, it is. There's
no getting around their
decision.
Or
else they finally have to recognize that not taking care of the constituents today, much less the future, is going to cause them to be removed anyway. Maybe they come right. I don't know how long you can go around in a cloud and not take care of the needs of the people you represent.
Going around in a cloud, or is it actually accomplishing what their end game is, mm-hmm. right? And we'll talk about that. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Sam Brentano, County Commissioner from Marion County. And we're going to come back and talk about some of the other transportation issues and changes at the Sheriff's Office, Administrator's Office, things going to State Street potentially, and, of course, solid waste. So stick with us. There's lots to talk about here on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Warren and our guest in studio today, Commissioner Sam Brentano for Marion County. I always have to say that because we enjoy having Polk County commissioners in
as
well.
Absolutely.
Make sure everybody knows which government we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about the city council and the Third Bridge no vote and how, folks, you need to be ready, not just to vote. You need to start writing a checks to the Create Jobs PAC or some other PAC that's going to run a great campaign to replace the people when they're up for re-election next year. Just next year, folks, by May, we could have voted Yeehaw. Them out. All right. Hey, what are the transportation? Let's stick on transportation a little bit. You obviously have to coordinate with everybody around you in a regional transportation fashion. So people are not doing projects that don't end up really gelling with the rest of the county, right?
Right. It has to be organized. You'd hope it's that all connects.
We were talking before the break, just hinted at that really the religion, and if you're listening, you have to really understand their religion is gridlock. That is the ultimate goal. That is what they want, and they've been elected. That's how scary it is, because we were talking as Commissioner Brentano came in about eliminating lanes and putting in bike lanes. Where that makes sense, I'm all for that. That's fine. But when it comes down to narrowing traffic to the point where nobody can get around in the city, that's what they want. It's not like they don't know it's going to happen. They know it's going to happen, and they want you to be miserable, right? How do you as a county government gel with that?
I want things to work, Brent. I look at the city study they recently did, and I hope I'm quoting this correct, but what I saw was 3.5% of the population currently walks or rides to work and business, et cetera. Of course, that's on nice days. And the goal was to raise it to 5%. And they're spending all this money for what? So for very few? What about the 95% of us, the rest of us, that have to go on with our lives? Shouldn't you be factoring that in? And I don't hear that they have. And I got a little fight going on right now. It's just starting to develop. I testified at Salem on their plan on State Street. They have a nice development, be some stores, restaurants. Yeah, very nice. But cut it down. I think it's 3 lanes, two bike lanes, nice sidewalks. It'd all be nice, but, of course, under their plan, you can't drive into it, so where are you going to park if you want to come anyway? But that's where you ride your bike, perhaps. But there's only a couple ways in. State Street, Market, and Mission. And mm-hmm. Mission's always so backed up. I like to get off. Anyway. To give up those lanes and that way in just doesn't make any sense to me. So the question now is that the county controls roadways east of Lancaster, and we want to rebuild. We have that Pick Suite property eventually be developed, and quite a population center back there anyway. Mobile homes, subdivisions, and a growing area. I know the limited by the urban growth boundary, but traffic comes in that way. And anyway.
And so, we need State Street.
So suddenly this committee, it's called the TACT Committee, the Technical Committee, changes our proposal. Instead of 5 lanes, suddenly it's 3 in bike lanes. And I just threw a little fit, and you should have seen them all snap like, oh, that upsets him? Yes. Don't you dare. I want to show Salem what traffic's supposed to look like, that you make it adequate for the people today and tomorrow. And I wanted to contrast with what Salem's proposing. So don't think I'm going to let them make it all the same, clear from Corden Road into downtown as a, walking path, I guess.
When you talk about State Street being 5 lanes, that's 2 through lanes, folks, and a turn lane. And that's how you move traffic. I mean, we finally got it about 20 years later on Kubler, after it was submarined, actually, by the same mindset with the money in the bank and the plan on Kubler. And of course, it took 20 years to get it back once they decided, no, because if you have the lanes, then people will drive on them, right? That is the argument.
Can you think back a history of anywhere that, always bring out these European cities, how nice that is. Yeah, I've been downtown Stockholm and you could walk around, but then they take care of you all around in it. But do you ever hear them bragging about, we're just so pleased with what our ancestors did for a traffic system that we can't get around here? Have you ever heard that that's a real blessing in a community?
That's why they have those small cars, right? Because they have to drive through those really small alleys that are in between the buildings.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, right?
Very expensive to park.
Okay, one lane.
No,
it's pretty well known. And it's got to be pragmatic. It's got to work. It's got to move people and goods. You said prior to this, about if you bought it, it came on a truck. We got to take care of people and commerce. And if you shut it off, I said this too, you shut it off, strangle. Strangle means you die. It's never happy.
Yes, we have to, we only have so many thoroughfares to get people east and west of town. I mean, just look at how it's gridded out. You just can't take away more thoroughfares. Can you imagine taking...
We need more.
Reducing the lanes on Lancaster, reducing the lanes on Commercial. If that seems impossible to you, you shouldn't be thinking, oh, well, let's keep these counselors that may want to reduce the number of through lanes on State Street. Right? If you're coming out, hey, if you're a state worker listening right now and your way out to I-5 is to take State instead of Mission... Wow, you know what I'm talking about, right?
You give it away.
It's like, okay, so for 1.5% of the population who may in the future elect to take an alternative, take a bike or to walk, we're going to throw 95% of us under the bus.
That's a lot.
Under the natural gas chariots.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, off of transportation.
Yeah, get me off.
I appreciate your frankness, actually, and it does underscore why you need to have a city council that is not fractionalized, where it is not there with a "hey, we're a voting block" kind of attitude. It's us against them. You need to have people that are collaborative, or nothing works. All right. So, how did our legislature do? We talked a little bit about this with Commissioner Cameron, but you were really involved as well in terms of the Covanta plant and the credits that are necessary for that to pencil out well for it to move forward into the future.
Yeah, I'll just lay a little bit of that out. The credits have to do with the sale of electricity and what you can basically sell them for. And historically, since the beginning, there was about $6 million a year in energy sales, just put it that way. But the new contract, without being classified as green energy, is only like $1.5 million. Well, suddenly things don't pencil out. If in one form or another you don't have that $3.5-4 million paying for subsidizing the rates, in other words. So that's what was in play, trying to get that. But it's the same group. I don't think much of them either. This 350 Salem, after getting done with the third bridge behind that, then they started working on us in the burner. And they were behind a lot of us not getting these credits we talk about, Brent, because they laid out the case that we put out all this CO2 and therefore we're ending the world. They don't say that we also prevent methane. They don't say that we recycle more than anybody else and that even our end product is used. They compare it with landfills who don't measure all the methane, which is 30, I hear in different numbers, 30 to 90 times more potent a greenhouse gas. They don't care. Their goal, anything says CO2, they're against. And so they were working in the legislature to prevent us getting this credits. It was a little more simple than that. We had this designation in a prior legislature, but it needed a little technical fix. That's all we were there for, to say, yes, this is renewable, and it is.
So was it the Portland legislators that really shot down what we needed, or was it a lack of concerted support in our own delegation here in the Mid Valley?
It was the Democrats and their, tax and swindle. It's the same idea. CO2, they just couldn't make that step to be, well, pragmatic, a word I've already mentioned, to make things work. And it's really important to our county and to our system. I'm not going to go through it all, but I bragged we have the best system in Marion County in the world, and I believe that. But we're going to throw all that away, and it's probably nothing real imminent. Whether we get these credits or not, I think there'll be a short-term contract, a year or two continuing. But there could be a point where we just say, well, now it can't work. It can't pencil out. So then we look to haul all our waste to Coffin Butte or perhaps even Arlington, maybe on a train. But it's not where I want to be, and it's a shame.
So without the credits to pencil out, does that mean potentially higher costs to ratepayers?
I don't know that yet. Depends on the contract you get for the waste, what you pay, and what it costs to haul it there. I will say there's a new project that we're working on, and I'm not quite sure how far along we are, but it has to do with the garbage collectors, and they're enlarging a sorting facility in the Brooks area and looking to take even more waste out of the waste stream, and I'm pretty enthused about that. So that's the one plus in the system. Regardless, well, maybe even be more important if we're hauling it to some other county to minimize that waste. But I'm pretty happy about that. We're going to try and encourage it.
So this is what we refer to at Newsmakers as purposeful ignorance, because they do not want to learn. Because it does not suit their mindset and their agenda. Oh, CO2, slam the door. They don't want to hear about the actual facts.
No.
And the other thing that people do is they, well, if this is not ideal, like we can't really get to no carbon, right? How about better is better?
Better is better.
So they're like, no, let's have zero rather than doing something better. Oh, it's not ideal. So
they want to go extreme and go to zero.
Purposeful ignorance.
But regardless,
you can use that, Sam. But you have to credit me.
I think I'm an example of it. So don't tell me that. Ignorance certainly in my middle name. But bottom line, we'll have a system figured out in the next couple of years, and with the goal of continuing our excellent recycling programs and not raising rates. But who can tell?
Is there a path to getting that resurrected as far as those credits?
Yeah, just going back to this next legislature, get the fix that I was talking about, and then we have a contract, or Covanta does, with PGE that includes that that higher price as renewable energy, and then we're on our way to another 30 years of success.
Is Kate Brown involved at all or educated about it?
I don't know where she is on it. Kevin worked with Tina Kotek a lot, and she, surprisingly to me, said she'd do what she could do. She recognized how important it was to Marion County, and she made efforts for us, so that was pleasing. Hmm. But our local delegation, especially in Woodburn, no. Didn't really get any help from them.
Wow. Hey, in the studio with us is Commissioner Sam Brentano from Marion County. We're going to take a quick break and talk to him a little bit more about some of the changes happening in the personnel that's running our county. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and we're talking to Sam Brentano, Marion County Commissioner. Folks, we hope to have a Marion County Commissioner join us every month. I think next month we'll have Colin Willis, who's been on the job now for about 9 months.
That'll be fun.
We had him last on days before he took the oath of office.
That's true.
So we're hearing from Commissioner Brentano that he has hit the ground running, and it's nice to have a contingency with Sam and Kevin Cameron and Colin Willis. And you know what? I don't care what gender they are. I don't care what gender they identify. You can identify however you want, Sam. I don't care what party they are. I care that they're working hard.
Yes.
And
doing the job. Yes.
And that they are stewards of the taxpayer money. And we got a great contingency. I don't want anybody going, well, you know, they're all Republicans, or, you know, they're all men, or any of that. I don't care. Let's kind of be colorblind when it comes to who's sitting there, and just pay attention to the job they're doing. And so far, I like what I'm seeing. So, Sam, let's talk a little bit about the personnel changes, because now we have a new administrator. And fortunately, it seems like since you guys hired from within, because the commissioners, you hired the administrator, right? And with the loss of a longtime administrator, you had to have somebody who knew what they were doing.
Yeah. I have to continue to say great things about John Latimer, though. You know that. He made it so easy to be here all these years because the physically conservative and wise just did a great job. But then he wants to retire. I said, no, you may not. But he did. But and then the question was of his replacement. But I do miss him. We had a good time and got a lot of good things done. But always behind the scenes, all these years, at least that I've been involved and prior, was a woman named Jan Fritz. And she doesn't want to be as public as John and get out, but she was the one pulling the strings, too, you have to know. So it was a pretty easy choice and didn't take us very long to select her as John's replacement for the county administrator's job. And she's been, I think it's a couple months now, and she didn't have to learn anything. She knew it all.
Because John trained her to do it, so,
the
right?
The only worries me, she gets mad at me, but she worked hard, John worked hard, and she kind of wants to just, at least at this point, as she settles in, kind of do it by herself, and I think it's too much. But she's conservative, too. She doesn't want to spend the money on a number two, but I don't, it's just, it is a big task, and I worry about it. I'll probably get in trouble for saying it. I said, would you just quit saying that? But
and what size is that budget, total budget?
Oh, like $440 million, 1,700 employees, and we represent 340,000 people. So it's no small deal. And what, 15 different departments, all different?
Wow. So, folks, we're talking about three policymakers and the commissioners, but we're talking about one administrator. Think of it in terms of a CEO of a company that has 1,700 employees.
Oof.
And not having a number two?
She defends herself, and rightly so. We have a good department head. So mm-hmm. when she wants to go in, she's comfortable. And I shouldn't say this kind of thing publicly. It's just one of the things I'm worried about. And I'll tell you why. Because I think so much of her, I don't want her to physically struggle or personally struggle with it. That's all. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Well, you don't want to burn out.
No. That's right? What I'm getting at.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations, Jan, and welcome. And it was nice.
She is a good one. Just let me leave it there.
And probably one of the best things that John did for you on his way out is make sure that he had hired up, trained in philosophy and execution, a person to make it seamless, right?
Seemed like it.
What about our sheriff's office? Another transition there where somebody decides that they don't want the lead role anymore, took another job, not a retirement, but another job. So,
I have to go back just about the same way I did with John and say, you know, Jason Myers, just archetypical greatest sheriff in Oregon. Just what he ought to be. Just did a wonderful job. And so just after the first of the year last year, he announced he wants to retire. And go. I think he's going to be the executive director of the Oregon Sheriff's Association. That's how well-respected he is around the state. But not happy for Marion County. On the other hand, when I think of it, and I know him personally and like him, and he certainly didn't say any of this to me, but I have to think, how long would you want to do the job where everything rotten happens in Marion County for 10 years? You got to be right in the center of it. That'd get old pretty quick, wouldn't it? So, well, he's a young man in good health. I wish him all the best. But now it's time to choose another, and we went to, down to one, not down to, went to one of the commanders, Joe Cast. Again, you know, he sounds trite, but hit the ground running. It doesn't look like it's missed a beat there either. Yesterday, although I don't recall their names as I'm sitting here, he appointed his two replacements. The undersheriff, he appointed Jeff Woods, who's primarily dealt with parole and probation in the jail. So Joe Cast, Jeff Wood are the one and twos, and they moved up some commanders. And now it's they're working real hard on this East County service district that we formed for increased police protection, mm-hmm. fire. And so it's they're going. It's business as usual, and everything looks good. Real responsive. Raul Ramirez was a good friend of mine. I went to high school with him, actually. But after I became a commissioner, I was like in St. Paul, and somebody said he wasn't happy with something was happening. I pass it on. Well, Raul very clearly told me, that's sheriff's business, not commissioner business, and where the line was. But both with Jason and now I watch with Joe, they need to know as much as I do with the plus and minuses going on, and to be able to just take that and say thank you instead of, you know, mind your own business. I appreciate it.
But it's not the commissioner's job. In your job description, you can't hire and fire a sheriff, right?
We appointed him.
You can appoint him.
Yeah, but yeah. Once they're there, we do control the budget, however, so that's a pretty big hammer. But the point I'm trying to make, though, is about in terms of I feel it's in my purview, anything that affects Marion County, whether it's a sheriff or the tax office clerk, you know. And if I hear something, it's my job to pass it on, so don't tell me. Anyway.
Yes, it is your job to pass. That's why you're available to the public, so they can give you feedback on what's going on in the county.
That's why we have you on.
And then it goes to the appropriate department head, folks, and so forth.
It does nobody any good if I just sit on it.
That's true.
And if it's wrong, well, then look into it. That's all. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Now we have a new sheriff.
Yeah,
and
he's a good one.
How has it been in terms of being able to continue to fund at the level you want those public safety departments? And you mentioned parole and probation. I think that's one of the underexposed, it's not in people's awareness all the time, but one of the huge roles in the sheriff's department and in terms of public safety. How's it been these last few years as far as funding it to a level you want to?
I'll try to just really sum it up. We've just had a lot on these discussions, and you're maybe hearing it out of Multnomah County, where they're going to close a portion of their jail because they can't afford to staff it because of state cutbacks. But here's what's going on. Community corrections, They've been cutting back on the money of reentry programs, for example. Eases people back into the community, lowers recidivism rates. We're real happy with it. But we're getting punished because we're successful in minimizing the amount of people coming that would go into the state system by, through our programs, and they're cutting back on money. Well, they did the same thing to Multnomah County, and it's affecting us the same way. We need to. I'm not ready to make this announcement. We're certainly looking at what should our jail capacity be. But how do you enlarge that capacity when the state's cutting money back because you're being successful? It's just short-sighted. They're taking it from programs that are having good results and literally punishing them to give it to those areas that are still having a lot of problems. Well, gosh, do you want everywhere to have problems? So, I mean, I don't know if I laid that out wrong.
Yeah,
because I see your faces. You're not getting it.
No, but, I want you to explain the multiplier here. So, and we have talked a little bit on Newsmakers about the reentry program.
Yes.
And that recidivism, folks, and that means the number of people that come out of the system.
Justice reinvestment.
And end up back in the system, right, for continuing a criminal cycle. So if we lower the recidivism, then we increase the people that re-enter into society, productive society, and are law-abiding and so forth, which saves us a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow there's a multiplier there that took money away from us because we're not sending more people to prison.
Right, because our numbers are down because we're having success is what I'm trying to say. And so therefore the formula says you get less money. Well, then you can't continue the program. If you get, can you follow this? It's just a catch-22, a mess, but we're not the only ones feeling it. And I really bring it up because, and I'm repeating, but at a time when we need to look at expanding our jail capacity, how can we do it when we have less dollars in the system?
Would that be an all new capital improvement need to look into expanding capacity? Do we need more?
I say just like that. No, it's more personnel, operational.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is there a wing of the jail that was currently not operational?
Yeah, we could have it all going. So we're just starting to talk on it. There's been some cases we're not happy with. You know, there's a matrix that determines who goes in and out, and it's just a dangerous thing. You know, if you got to let somebody out to put somebody in, we don't want to be in that situation.
Real quick, we just got a couple of minutes. Let's. Philosophically, we talk about the city council a lot, and there's a divergence of how much money is coming in versus how much growth, both in population and expenses for employees. It's a divergent in turn. That's why they're talking about raising another $15 million a year. Is there a warning light that we should all be paying attention to in county on operations where there's a divergence of, and you kind of just described one, of this is our needs and our needs looking to the future, and this is not aligned with the kind of revenue we have.
That's nothing new, because that's the whole game all along, is to maximize your revenue and trying to do the things that you consider your mission or core that are important. So, but there will be in the future. We have that added draw. That's not a good word, but from PERS, all the different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see, you know, you can see the red line going past the blue in a couple of years if we're not careful. We've been very stable for 20 years, I suppose, and want to continue that. So, you just like in your family, you can only spend what you got, and that's the question.
So we don't have anything on the drawing board with you guys for new revenue initiatives?
No.
Like the city of Salem, Scott?
No, not yet, but anything would be open as we get, you know, years down the future, or you find out you got to provide, you want to provide something, and the way we would do it, and I think I'm here in Salem is put it in front of people and say, is this what you want? Is this important enough? But there's nothing imminent.
All right, that's Sam Brentano, Marion County Commissioner. And we're going to have to take our last break and come back here because it's Thursday. And this Thursday, we're going to invite back Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike. And let's see what that's on their mind. We get 10 minutes of their musings, shall we call them, Dave?
Yeah, that's
well,
it.
Yeah, once a week. So thank you to County Commissioner Sam Brentano. He's going to go help with the public's business. And we're going to be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back, folks. It's Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne joining us. And actually, you know, before we join, I want to thank Commissioner Brentano. He's one of my favorite characters. He's a straight shooter, right? Sometimes he tries to apologize for telling it too straight, but I love it. Hey, there's no reason to apologize. That was great. And I'm going to be, I'm going to be really, really a little miffed if we're all going to have to pay more because the Portland legislators can't figure out waste to energy and how it's fantastic. But all right. But moving on. We were talking about the local contingency not being able to put two and two, any sort of logical progression. They came up with harebrained ideas. Hey, Cowboy Ron.
Howdy.
Sergeant Mike.
Hey.
You were telling me that it's not just local. There's other people with harebrained ideas.
Yeah, like Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's out there telling some, you know, I'm 1/92nd of a Cherokee or something. And, you know, I'm a white Irish Englishman, and she's as white as I am. And my wife had about a 16th Cherokee. Still couldn't tell it. Maybe a little, she'd tan real good. But, you know, this woman didn't have anything. She's crazy. And so is her buddy, Bernie.
But one of those two is going to be the presidential candidate, aren't they?
Probably, because
I think maybe Warren. I think maybe Elizabeth Warren. So, and then Trump's going to have a real easy go.
Can you see?
My boy Trump's going to have an easy go.
Could you see, Cowboy Ron, could you see a debate between President Trump and Joe Biden?
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Joe would just kind of, he'd probably become a Bernie Sanders and just raise his arms every time he tried to reply. But good old Joe is going to have to just get back on his front porch with his double-barreled shotgun and keep all the intruders away.
There you go.
So you don't think Joe Biden, you didn't even put him in the top two, did there, Sergeant Mike?
I didn't. I think he's made such a mess of himself that they're getting tired of him. And it's time to start pushing here right away. And next year, this time.
Yeah, Joe just doesn't have the brains to run the country. He has no credibility, no stability. He's a politician.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel sorry for him. I confessed. I'm like, when you look at the Bernie and left of Bernie, yeah, right, is out there, and suddenly Joe Biden looks like he's in the middle. What's happened to this world, guys?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, Bernie, I mean, just like we talked about that a number of times off the board, but I don't want people like Bernie Sanders saying, okay, we're going to have free education, we're going to have free health insurance, and my question is who's going to pay for it? Well, all you Democratic voters are going to pay for it. I mean, you're going to be just like Canada. Canada is 60% income tax. That's where we're headed.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. Open up your eyes.
Mr. 60%. You always come back to Canada and Denmark.
Well, you know, the poor guys have already got bamboozled, you know, like the old cowboy and... You know, you ransacked the cabin and you just got bamboozled, you know. So that's kind of what we're getting, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah, I think liberal and conservative alike, especially in financial services, everybody's in agreement we're going to have higher tax rates in the future.
Yeah.
You know, hold on to your wallets.
Oh, no, I think you're right. Dave, what do you think? I mean, come on.
Dave's thumbs up. He's in complete agreement.
Thumbs up. He just invested in a new piece of real estate.
Excellent.
Yeah, he is. And just where he and his wife want to live, the home they want to have, and they sold their last one. They earned it, and now they've earned more, and now they sold one and going to buy another and living the dream.
Yeah. He's part of the problem because he does drive a car to work.
So he's a
serious part of the evils of society that must be rectified.
Yeah. You know, Brent, one thing, and Sarge, we were kind of run by us, but you got to bring this one up. If the Democratic people, or the ones that are candidates who are running for office, would come forth and say, give me a realistic issue. Let's debate this. Okay, the border, Mr. Trump's taking care of that. We got sections of the border going up. So here's the big issue. So why doesn't the Democratic politicians say, what are we going to do with the homeless? Now, we're not going to give free health insurance and free education. We've got a homeless issue, a street people. What are we going to do? You too. Tell me.
It's a big problem.
So isn't that a bigger problem than trying to give some money or going in debt fizzer?
Well, I think you appreciate this, Cowboy Ron. I think the people should do the math, as we like to say on Newsmakers. It's like, I think sometimes the solution is more expensive than just, say, buying, rather than Medicare for all, just buy every homeless person a private insurance policy. It's probably cheaper than trying to have the federal government run everything, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, and we hit on that. We had 8 years of Obama and Obamacare that we're hoping it's going to go by the wayside. But we used to get, for $350, coverage for a family of five. And now it's $3,500 a month. And then we're picking up the tab for all the people that don't have insurance. The Oregon Health Plan's got big problems. Let's discuss those problems. And, you know, get out the checkbook.
Yeah, and you're an employer. I know you're a small business owner. And I think the best thing we can do to educate, as employers, educate everyone who is a voter, is put on their pay stub, this is what your health insurance costs.
Exactly.
This is what it represents per hour. Favorite bumper sticker here. One of my favorites. I don't talk a lot about bumper stickers today, but one of the ones, like, if you think healthcare is expensive now, wait till you see what it costs when it's free.
Right. That's good.
But people don't see what it's cost because an employer might be picking it up.
Exactly. And then just like we've stressed, of if we can open the eyes of our listeners, of your listeners, to say, write it down. This is what it's costing. You think we're getting by easy now. We cannot have representation in any form of government that is going to not be responsible for auditing and accounting.
Well, what are your thoughts, Cowboy Ron, on Elizabeth Warren?
On what?
Elizabeth Warren. And is she going to win the primary, and how is that going to play out?
Well, the good thing about it, I'm a registered Democrat, and I do that so I can vote in the primary.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, no. Were you? Yeah. So anyway, I go in, and I get to kind of pick who I want to run. I think it's going to be a train wreck. I think my boy Trump, you look what that boy's doing. No Russian influence, tariffs and trade issues. The guy's cleaning house. He's saying, no, we have response. The ag business is wonderful. Great. Let's go. My boy Trump, go.
All right. See, you're part of the people that they just don't seem to understand. Why should you support Trump? How can you possibly support Trump? Well, you look around and you like his policies.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
Yeah, he's incredible.
All right, we're going to have to call it a day here. That's Cowboy Ron with Sergeant Mike. We get to hear from them once a week. It's been fun to have Commissioner Brentano on because, hey, and thanks for listening to local radio. Well, yeah, here on Newsmakers, I'm Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.